Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
My favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley oop. I like the pick and roll. I like the give and go, cause it's basketball. But Mr. Curtis Blow.
This is Soundcheck. I'm Aaron McKeown. At first glance, sports and theater might seem to be incompatible. Take the NBA, for example. A player can actually be penalized for theatrics. Pretend to get fouled on a play? That could cost you $5,000. You won't be fined for bringing sports into a theater, but that doesn't mean it's easy to turn big games and big athletes into stage dramas, musicals, or operas. Later in the show, we'll talk to a director and a composer, each of whom has helped to bring the life of a sports hero to the stage. But first, I'm joined by David Cody, theater editor of Time Out New York. Welcome, David.
Thanks, Aaron.
Well, there is a lot of sports-related stuff on stage. Let's start here. Does sports make for good raw material for theater?
I do think it does because it's sort of an exotic world that theater folk might not necessarily know that much about. I don't want to make any judgments, of course. I mean, there's plenty of people who love baseball and Stephen Sondheim probably. But I think that when you bring the sports into the theater, it's like, what is this world? I mean, it's very visual. I mean, there's a lot of kinetic movement. There's a lot of costuming and movement. And so I think it inherently works on stage as a spectacle. And of course, I think theater people or theater audiences are interested in the stories behind drama, behind sports, that is. Who are these players and what are they driven by? And, what are the rivalries or the sort of private demons that drive them? I mean, the sports is of course has tons of scandal and drama if you look at it. I mean, you have fixing of games, you have doping, you have injuries, or sometimes even death in the sports. So it's plenty of material there, I think.
Well, for those who don't know or want to know more, what's out there right now?
Well, right now there is a what's coming down the pike for Broadway in spring of 2014 is Rocky, the iconic boxing Sylvester Stallone
really?
Movie. Yes, that's being turned into a musical. Actually, it was done out of town, way out of town in Germany. Director Alex Timbers and an American cast and crew put it on, and it's basically a musical retelling of the great story of Rocky Balboa and his fight to the top. Or actually, not to the top necessarily, but, for those who know the movie.
Here it's chaos. Rocky, you went the distance. You went the 15 rounds. How do you feel?
All right.
What are you thinking about when that buzzer sounds? What are you thinking about when the 15th round when you're coming out?
Rocky? Is Sylvester Stallone involved? I'm sure that everyone wants to know that.
Yeah, I think he's a producer on it. And it was his idea, and he sort of got the whole ball rolling.
The fight was not the most important part. The part was the heart. It's a story that can go on from generation to generation about how everyone is entitled to a moment of dignity.
Fight from the heart.
So that's Rocky coming to Broadway next year.
I think that the director, Alex Timbers, is one of the most exciting young directors around right now. He did a show called Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson a few years back. He's got a show at the Public right now called Here Lies Love, which is with music by David Byrne about Imelda Marcos. He's a director who can handle impossible musicals, like impossible to stage. Like, how do you stage a boxing match without killing your actors every week? And I was talking to him about it recently, and he was saying that he and choreographer Stephen Hoggett have come up with a full contact choreography for the fights, meaning that they actually the actors actually make contact, but they're not hitting each other, if that makes any sense. So it's highly coordinated, it's highly safe, I guess, but it's realistic because there's a big coup de théâtre at the end of the show.
Yeah, I read about this. I was actually wondering if you knew what it was.
Well, they invite some of the audience onto the stage.
Supposed to, don't spoil it.
Amazing. I'm sorry. Well, you'll forget by the time it comes. But basically, they want the audience to be up. Because the interesting thing, I mean, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but the interesting thing about theater versus film in terms of depicting sports, in film you have special effects and amazing camera angles that make you feel like you're in the game. Whereas theater, it's more like a sports event because you're watching it as in an arena. So I think with Rocky, I think they're going to try to get the sense that you are there in the boxing ring watching a real fight happening. So to get that sort of rush.
Right, you have to be right up close to be able to get it.
Right, so it looks realistic, yeah.
There's another boxing production right now from Opera Theater of St. Louis. It's called Champion. What is that about?
Champion is a new opera by Terrence Blanchard and librettist Michael Christopher about boxer Emile Griffith, who happened to be gay and who, of course, found a conflict between the approval of him beating somebody to a bloody pulp in a ring and, you know, actually being gay with another man. So it's that sort of dichotomy in his life and his career.
What makes a man a man? What makes a man the man he is? Is it the flesh and bone inside? The skin he wears, the color of his voice, the walk he walks, the talk he talks inside.
The idea of homosexuality in the sports, which of course is still very, you know, fodder for news stories. Way back in like 2002, playwright Richard Greenberg did a play called Take Me Out, which was a wonderful baseball drama that was kind of ahead of its time because you had a superstar player on a fictitious team who came out of the closet just suddenly. And it threw the team dynamics into disarray. And, of course, they had all these scenes in the shower and the guys very nervously in the shower with each other. So it was a terrific play that sort of – it was about being gay. It was about being on a team. It was about sports in America. It was a really ambitious and wonderful play, and ahead of its time. You know, it was long before that basketball player came out. Its name I'm forgetting right now.
Jason Collins.
Because I am a theater geek and not a sports person. Thank you.
Yes, I do want to know, why is it always about the showers, right? Why is it always, when you're talking about sports, why is it people always concerned about the showers? This is Soundcheck. I'm Erin McKeown, in for John Schaefer. We're talking with David Cody, theater critic for Time Out New York, about musicals, plays, and operas that have been inspired by the world of sports. Certainly baseball has a history on stage, several important productions. Baseball, Take Me Out, as you were saying, and of course Damn Yankees is the one that everyone thinks of first. We have a clip here of Golden Boy, which was first a play in 1937, and then a musical in 1964, starring Sammy Davis Jr. Let's listen to a clip of Sammy Davis Jr.
Summer, not a bit of breeze. Neon signs are shining through the tired trees. Lovers walking to and fro. Everyone has someone and a place to go. Listen, hear the cars go past. They don't even see me flying by so fast. They are moving, going who knows where. Only thing I know is I'm not going there.
That was Sammy Davis Jr. singing Night Song from the musical Golden Boy, boxing musical we've been talking about with my guest David Cody. I'm Erin McKeown, in today for John Schaefer. It seems to me, you know, we're talking about these recent productions, you know, certainly 20th century and forward, but it certainly seems to me that this is not a new connection at all. Like, how far back does the connection between sports and theater go?
Well, I mean, the rivalry between sports and theater goes back. I mean, if you want me to go way back.
Go way back.
The way back machine. Ancient Greece, of course, had its City Dionysia Festival, which is a big festival to award the top drama to a top award to a tragedy. And of course, they have that, and they have the Olympics. I mean, any advance to society, whatever that means, has a balance between sports and athletic and art. But of course, in Elizabethan England, in Shakespeare's time, his greatest competition, besides from other theaters, was from bear baiting. Which I don't think anyone in in modern society would call it a sport, but it's a blood sport. Basically, the bear garden or the Paris Garden was also on the south bank of the Thames, where the globe was, not in the same area, but anyway. So the bear baiting is, well, it's you take a bear and you sort of chain it to the center of a ring, and then you set some dogs on it, and occasionally for extra fun, you tie a monkey to its head. And the Elizabethans loved this. So it was either like, oh, do I go see Julius Caesar, or do I go see, the bear get torn apart by dogs? It was a culture of contradictions, you could say.
How do you compete with something like that?
Well, maybe it was the same as it is today. Somebody's like, oh, you're going to the theater? Oh man, I'm going to the bear baiting. Come on, I don't want to see Shakespeare. I don't know. It was just maybe people enjoyed both. It was definitely, I think Shakespeare definitely had to make sure up his game to make sure that he could provide more excitement than animals tearing each other apart.
Well, I guess that makes me think of it's a great analog, right? Is that here we are today? We're competing so much with people's attention. There's a whole lot of things to do besides going to the theater for your time, and so I'm wondering if there's something, are Broadway producers thinking this way now about ways to get people in the theater? Like, we have to do something so spectacular that it's going to compete with the 200 other things you could do without even leaving your sofa.
I think that's absolutely true, because we live in a sort of 3D HD culture now where the experience has to be more intense, more in the theater, more interactive. I mean, of course, you have the long-running show Sleep No More, which is just this incredible sort of immersive experience. And you have, like I said before, Here Lies Love, which is an environmental production, a show called Murder Ballad at the Union Square Theater, also sort of environmental. So you've got these shows that are just like trying to make the theatrical experience more vivid and in your face and exciting and involving.
And you have Once, where you have people go on stage before the show and in the middle and buy their beer from the pub that you're looking at.
Yeah, so in that sense, I mean, it's historically people – it's a fascinating difference between the visceral and the sort of poetic. I mean, if you really want to get your – if you really need to have an intense, real, visceral experience, and you go to the sports – I mean, not – I'm not saying it's either or, but you see people actually jumping, running, sweating, falling, maybe breaking something. And so it's a real physical experience. Whereas in theater, even though there's a lot of, especially in a musical, there's a lot of effort and muscularity involved, it's also a language of metaphor and poetry, So it's like we don't actually put it on stage. We sort of evoke it through song or language. So it's like literalism versus metaphor, if you want to, look at it that way.
Yeah, or look at audience targets, I suppose. And I would hate to gender it, but I do wonder if some of this is about trying to bring, I think it's something like 2/3 of the Broadway audience are women. So is this part of this to try to bring men to the theater?
Yeah, I think definitely there's that attempt. I mean, and if maybe the idea is that if you have a married couple, if the man wants to go, the woman will come along. So it's like it's a 2-for-1. Whereas, I mean, again, to be gendered and cliche about it, if a woman wants to go see a play or a musical, she might have to drag her husband along. So, whereas I don't know if most women are interested in sports. I mean, I don't know what the number. I mean, you say 2/3, and that's very true. That the majority audience is, for theater is for women. But I wonder what it's like in sports. What the numbers are in terms of that.
I think it's probably more women than are given it credit for. It's probably true. But let's go back to Rocky and let's wrap up here. Are you going to go see it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I love an underdog story, and I haven't heard much of the score, so I don't know how that'll pan out, but. I'm really the idea that there's the director is going to try to get out of the sort of proscenium limitations of most Broadway houses. All these theaters on Broadway are like 100 years old and they're very set. The fact that he's going to try to mix it up and sort of bring us on stage or make it more interactive, I think is great, because Broadway needs to move on. It needs to move on to different spaces and different ways of presentation. So, and I mean, I love sports in the theater. I can't sit down and watch a game because, life's too short. But, I love sports in the theater.
David Cody is the theater editor at Time Out New York. David, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll talk to members of the creative teams behind a boxing opera and a basketball drama. I'm Erin McKeown, and today for John Schaefer, this is Soundcheck.